Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Oh, please bring it up, Jake. For us to start giving some bets out.
For sure. I think I'm more excited about the same game parlays than the bets for the games.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the point, right? That's kind of like, it's kind of why they're peddled so much, because they're pretty awesome.
They're really fun. Well, and for these games too, it's like, yeah, the side and the total's probably pretty good in these games. So let's figure out a way to create like a really, really fun lottery ticket. That I was like, two of mine last week were really close. Three actually were really close. My Rams one was really close. Just Cup didn't go over his number. My Raiders Bengals one was really
close.
Imagine
losing on that. Like, that's where you lose too, is on Cup.
Raiders Bengals was really close. I had every leg except for sacks. I was a little short on the total sacks in the game, but I had all the other legs in that. And then, actually, it was probably just those two. My Steelers one, I was like,
it was alive, like going into the second half, I think, right?
Yeah, but I was alive at halftime. But like the other two were alive, like late. Like they checked off a bunch of the boxes.
Oh man, when TJ Watt scored that touchdown, I was like, could this
that was incredible. It just the amount of people that immediately were like, Nick, it's alive. It's alive.
I was like, yeah, guys, I know.
I got it. We're all
I
watching.
Love that. And look, I appreciate that from people tweeting, like, hey, like Julio needs 4 yards to go over. Like, yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Yes. I have also bet this. Yes,
I also have this NFL football game on.
Yes, I have all the stuff that we talk about. We bet. Yes. So like we are aware of all of it. All right.
College hoops. I would get it if you were like, hey, like Furman second half needs to go over.
Oh,
the number.
That I'm
okay,
not watching.
I got 20 other things going on. Yeah. Maybe not super locked into that game. Probably know what the score is, but like Chiefs Bills, where it's like, hey, Diggs needs 8 more yards. Like, yes, he does. he does need 8 more yards.
Like, oh, I got Christian Kirk needs. Do you think Kirk's gonna get one more? No, I don't think so.
No.
Also, like, and the poor people that were sweating the field goal prop. We didn't even talk about that. Oh, because I was off on Tuesday.
Yeah,
landed three. The Rams could have kicked at the end. People are tweeting me like, it's got a shot. I feel like saying like, no, it doesn't. Unfortunately, because
you've seen the movie before.
Yeah,
it ends terribly.
Okay. Yeah. It ends poorly. Yeah, bad. What music do we want to play?
Oh yeah, we started this. That exact question launched the 15-minute conversation of the last segment. By the way,
I didn't mention. By the way, there's a guy named Joe that goes to Rosary. I talked about this with Moose, who's a
Joe,
who wears great guy. I don't know him. I shouldn't say that, but he goes to Rosary every single week, offers
Seems
prayers
nice.
For like a multitude of protection. Yeah. How could you, this was my thing. Like, how could you be a bad person and do this? Right. I guess you could be.
Sure.
He wears an old school Giants jacket. Like that has to be like blue. And I say this like affectionately, like, I think it's cool. It's probably like 20 years old. Like it's a weathered jacket, but it's cool. And a Packers hat. This guy loves sports and he is dying to talk sports with me. I walk in What'd you think of the Cowgirls with the quarterback draw on Sunday? And I'm just like, oh God. Here's
walked
my
into
offering.
A, walked to a not really weird Staten Island version of First Take.
What do you think? Call them the Cowgirls and then reference the quarterback draw. Yes. It's like, I'm done.
Who would you rather have, Ja or Giannis? Like, wait, how did you even get, did you hear that topic? How did you even get
Nether,
that?
I'd rather have Jesus. Can we pray, please?
Right, yes. I'd rather have Mary. Right.
Okay. So what do we, no, but seriously, like what music do we want to play?
Can we just play recommends? Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead, Jake. Lay down that, please, that YBYB recommends. All right, we begin our NFL sojourn in the place where all good things begin. Nashville, where the Tennessee Titans 3.5-point favorites over the Cincinnati Bengals. The total in this game is 47.5, so it's gone up a half point from what it was a little earlier. So 47.5, Titans 3.5, minus 110, either way. Titans minus 180 on the money line. The Bengals at plus 158. You're broad. I like that we've got all this information here, Scott. This is good. 4:30 p.m. kickoff. Weather, 36 and clear. It'll be Ian Eagle and Trent Green on the call. Charles Davis in COVID protocol, so Trent Green subs in. Evan Washburn and his immaculate hair, which got like a ton of burn on the broadcast last week, on the CBS broadcast. Cleet Blakeman, that idiot, will be the referee for this game, so expect some chicanery for sure.
Got to go from Boger to Blakeman. Yeah.
Do you know, by the way, who the referee is for the Bucks-Rams game? Have you seen this yet?
Well, I see it now on my screen, but why don't you enlighten our listeners?
Yeah, Sean, the demon spawn of Ed, Sean Hockley. Actually, that's probably why you should bet the Bucks.
Because it's Hockley calling, like, Brady getting tapped on the hip as, like, a 15-yard
roughing the passer, something. Yes. Yeah. You get, yes, like, Aaron Donald gets sent to, ejected and sent to Guantanamo Bay for touching Tom.
Well, I mean, you're in Florida. It's a quick plane flight.
All right. So, yeah, it's moron Cleet Blakeman is the referee in this game, so expect some kind of BS nonsense. All right, so let's do side and total first, then we can get to some props. For this. You know what? I'm not going to give out props today. We'll give out props on Saturday and Sunday, but you'll be able to tell based on the same game parlay what I'm leaning towards.
Yep.
And side and total, please, Titans and Bengals.
Yeah, some of this will be, I think it's valuable because it's Friday to rehash some of the conversation we had on Monday, like how do we get to this number? What's going on here? Because I think a lot of people probably come in now. For the weekend, you and I were both off on Tuesday and Wednesday, so we haven't had a ton of conversation about these games. I think this number of 3.5 makes a ton of sense. This is a very fascinating handicap because if the game were to take place in the regular season with Derrick Henry out of the lineup, so let's say this game took place in like week 14, something like that, I would have this game either like pick Titans minus one, something like that would make a lot of sense. Titans was one of the worst rated teams in the entire postseason, ahead of only the Raiders and the Steelers, I think, of teams that made the playoffs. But there's a lot happening here, just like in Green Bay, San Francisco, there's a lot happening here. Two things that are magnified in this situation. Three, actually. One, the Titans are at home in a playoff game. That's going to be more valuable than a regular season game. Two, Derrick Henry is back. Three, and normally that wouldn't matter, but for an impact player like Derrick Henry, any other running back, I don't care. In this game, it's absolutely having an impact on what the point spread is. Three is the fact that the Titans had a week off, and that is going to be heavily built into whatever the number is. To look at Packers San Francisco, the same thing's happening. So that's how we get to more than a field goal. Open 2.5, went through three out the other side. Totally agree with it. I have some Titans 2.5. Nick has some Titans 2.5. We talked about this last Saturday on the show that if it opened there, it was crazy and it needed to be at least three in the game. That's kind of our thought process leading up to this moment. So we're both holding a ticket that doesn't exist anymore. If you're here right now, you're like, thanks a lot, loser. Please tell me what to bet on right now. I think this market's really good. If you wanted to bet it, the way that I would attack it is I've seen some minus 170s and minus 180s in the moneyline market. I think Bet Rivers is minus 189 right now because I see it on my screen. I think the Titans are a little more likely to win the game than that, even though the number is now like long since gone through three. I think this game is going to land three a little bit more often. The Titans this season have been a team they played very well as an underdog in a bunch of situations. They played some close games. Not exactly a team with an elite offense that's been able to like build and maintain a large lead in a game. So I do think this game lands three maybe a little bit more often than some of the, like Bills Chiefs, for example, I think lands three a little bit less. Even Bucks Rams, because of the offenses involved, even if we think that game's going to go under, probably lands three a little bit less. So Titans money line, I think, is probably worth something still in this game. But now that we're on this side of three, I think that's correct. And that's kind of the funny thing is people looking at this may not interpret it this way. This says on a neutral field, Cincinnati's better, just so everybody knows. That's what this says. Because when we do Packers San Francisco, the exact same dynamics are in play. That number's 5.5. So it, it just tells you, like, on in this game, home field, week off, Henry back, like, Cincinnati better rated on neutral. Like, that's how you get to 3.5 in the game. It's pretty crazy. So that's actually kind of what's intimated by this number, which is pretty wild. So Titans money line probably for a little bit for me in this game, but that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have Titans 2.5. Ken just referenced it there. I think if I had to bet the game, I would lay it with Tennessee. If I had to bet it, which I don't because I already did and I have a better number, I would bet the over if I had to. I haven't. I don't know if I'm going to, Ken. I might just sit with my Tennessee bet and like the props in the same game parlay.
That's fine. Absolutely. I think so, injuries this week. Is there anything worth noting? I know you're usually, this is usually part of your comment, but it seems like business as usual. The Bengals are going to get Hendrickson, but neither defensive tackle, right?
Yeah, Ogunjobi out for the season. Daniel's not going to play. Ogunjobi is the bigger loss here, which helps the over. Like, I actually think, well, the Chiefs-Bills game doesn't really have anything. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is playing in the game, which is like, whatever. He misses the game. It doesn't even matter. Packers-Niners and Bucks-Rams both have injury stuff that, like, really, I think, factors into the handicaps. I would not say that this is the case here in this particular game. So if I had to bet it right now, if you don't have a position, I agree with Ken. I think the Titans are going to win. I would bet Tennessee 3.5 before I took Cincy plus 3.5. So, like, when I said earlier in the week I was considering middling this, I am not going to do that. I've thought more about it. I'm going to stick with my bet on Tennessee. I would take the over if I had to do something with the total, but I have not bet it yet. If I do take it, I'll talk about it tomorrow morning on the show, 8 a.m.
Yeah. One other thing here. I know, it's absolutely brutal.
8 to 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow morning. Can't wait to bring you that show.
One other thing that's just worth considering, because you and I did a ton of radio. The question that I was asked related to this game in almost every hit that I did was basically like the person asking was like, well, Joe Burrow is like way better than Ryan Tannehill. So like, I want to take the Bengals. Like, he's the better quarterback in the game. Like, doesn't that make them alluring? And I go like, well, yeah, like you could easily make an argument he's more talented than Ryan Tannehill, but like that's not really the discussion that we're having. The two counters to that, because I'm guessing a lot of people listening either feel that way or have friends who have at least said that to them at some point. Two things are like, Titans are on offense, the Bengals are on defense. The ball is snapped, what happens? And it's like what that alludes to is just like the Titans may end up with a significant advantage at the line of scrimmage running the ball straight ahead in this game. And the Raiders were able to run the ball against Cincinnati. Now they didn't get to do it because they were losing almost the entire time.
And because they were dumb also.
Yes, they're morons.
Hey, they averaged 6.5 yards per carry and they barely ran the ball in the game because they're dumb.
They could have had a tremendous amount of success running the ball in certain game scripts and with certain decisions being made. And now the Titans are showing up with this advantage, with the Bengals even more beat up and with Henry returning. So like, monster advantage for the Titans in the game, possibly in that situation that has nothing to do with Joe Burrow. It's also worth noting, just really thinking about what we saw from Raiders and Bengals last week. A lot of people spent a lot of time talking about the other five games, basically, and not a lot about Raiders-Bengals other than the officiating. But what the sort of officiating ended up masking was the fact that on a yards per play basis, the Raiders outgained the Bengals yards per play in that game last week. In a home game for Cincinnati, the Raiders, who were in a miserable situational spot, outgained the Bengals on a yards per play basis, and they went 1-for-5 in the red zone, and they had a ton of boneheaded mistakes and penalties, which resulted in them losing the game. So like, yeah, cool. It's Joe Cool. It's like this amazing quarterback on a team that probably gets dump trucked by almost every good team in the league if they play that performance that they had last week. And now they're showing up to a team with a week off that's historically awesome in that situation during the regular season. I just think this sets up as like Titans win, but I have no idea the margin. I think it's more likely than everybody else does, or that the market does, I think.
Do you want to give a start, at least start your same game parlay?
Sure. So I think my same game parlay is basically about, like, I mean, it's just like how I see the game playing out. It doesn't really have a fancy title, but I think the Titans are going to win. So Titans money line, Tennessee first to 10, get out to like a lead in the game, and them getting out to a lead creates a bunch of statistical probabilities for how the game is going to play out. Them getting a lead, possibly like a multi-possession lead, Joe Mixon under in rushing yards, 64.5. 4+ total combined sacks between the teams, Burrow having to throw a ton being behind in the game, 25+ Burrow completions being down almost the entire time, and Jamar Chase over his number, 84.5 yards. So basically, Titans get up in the game early, Chase
number that
and
big
Burrow.
Chase now? Wow.
I think I took an alt, I think is what ended up happening.
Okay.
I think I took a one alt up, I think is what I did. But I'd have to go back and check. So all those things in combination, basically Tennessee to win, get up early, Mixon under, Burrow completions over, 4+ total combined sacks, Chase over. I think it was I have it as 10-1, but I did one with Tennessee money line and without. I think this is like 15-1 with Tennessee money line, and it's something like that.
All right. Mine is called, I know I don't watch anime, but I'm aware of like a very popular anime because I see people tweeting about it. Attack on Titan. This is Attack by Titans.
Oh, so it's like Titan. Isn't Titan AE? Wasn't that a movie at some point?
I don't know. Was Jamie Foxx in it?
Probably.
And George Clooney.
I think it was Ice Cube.
I don't know. Here's my same game parlay. I also have Titans money line. I have an alt over 46.5. I just brought it down a little bit. Over 46.5. Again, Titans money line. Julio Jones. Now, I gave this out, I think with you, Ken, on, well, you didn't do Wednesday, but I gave it out with Moose.
You talked about it yesterday as well. You talked about it yesterday as well. Yeah.
So I talked about it with Moose on Wednesday. Julio Jones. I have a bet on him at 38.5. The number is now 46.5. I still like the over. Julio over 46.5. Titans money line over in the game. Ryan Tannehill over 237.5 passing yards. I feel like everyone's going to be keyed in on Derrick Henry. And I think Tannehill's going to beat him up down the field in the play-action game. Bengals terrible at play-action defense against the play-action passing game. Tannehill, one of the best in the league at it. And you got a running back and two great receivers to make it happen. And how about this? Picture in your mind's eye. First and goal at the 2 for the Titans. Everyone in the whole world watching Derrick Henry. Including the Bengals, the play call, naked boot, scooting into the end zone, Ryan Tannehill, anytime touchdown. All of these bets combined to give you 22-1 on the Bengals-Titans same game parlay. Coming up next, bets for the Packers and Niners, including, same game parlays.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
All right, let's get back to the bets here. Jake, you can fade up the YBYB recommends and let us continue our sojourn through the divisional rounds of the NFL postseason on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, Ken, where we have the Green Bay Packers sitting as 5.5-point favorites against the San Francisco 49ers. Total in this game is 47. This will be on Fox, the broadcast team, Buck and Aikman, with Aaron Andrews and Tom Rinaldi. Ronald Torbert is your referee. I don't really know who that is, so he's probably good. I don't know anything about him, so that's good. 10 right. degrees will be the temperature, probably a little colder with the wind chill. So Nick Bosa cleared. Bosa's going to play in this game for San Francisco. Garoppolo's going to start. Fred Warner's going to play. Elijah Mitchell is going to play. Bakhtiari, questionable for the Packers. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is doubtful for Green Bay. Jaire Alexander also expected to play back in the lineup for the Green Bay Packers. What do you got here, side and total, if anything, Packers and the Niners?
Sure. So to sort of start by rewinding to the start of the week and how the market kind of comes up with this number, just for people who are curious, when we did Titans Bengals in the last segment, the start of that was that the implication was actually that the Bengals were better on a neutral, but there were so many situational advantages for the Titans. That's how you got to 3.5 in this game. I actually think in this game specifically, where you have some of those same advantages, what this implies is that these are actually two pretty evenly rated teams on a neutral field. So you have two pretty evenly rated teams. Packers may be rated a little bit better. You have the Packers playing at home in a playoff game where they generally have a place where they generally have a very strong home field advantage. That gives you a really significant edge toward the Packers. And then you also have them with a week off. Those two things in combination could actually take you from like, just this is my opinion, I think that gets you from like under 3 to 5.5. I actually think that's what those two things get you. Packers playing at home and having a week off. That's how strong those two things are from a win probability standpoint. So what the start of that sentence or the start of that explanation was that I think these are actually two pretty evenly rated teams. I think all four teams remaining in the NFC, and you and I did the sim yesterday, I think they're all rated like very, very similarly. In my numbers, at least, I have them rated all very similarly. So I'm just a tiny bit interested in San Francisco. Now my statement at the start of the week was, if I knew Bosa was playing and there were not other significant injuries and Garoppolo was going to start and seemed healthy and it was six, I would absolutely bet the Niners. Now, as we started finding out that those things were all true, the sixes all went away. That happened yesterday. But if they come back or there's a rogue six, then there's like one on the board right now, basically a six minus 110. That would be a bet for me on San Francisco. So we're much closer to a buy point for me on San Francisco than we are for anything involving me playing the Packers in the game, I guess is the right way to look at it. So that's just my opinion on it, is like, if I see a six, I'll bet it. If I don't, I kind of like the Niners, but I would much rather have six.
Do you have, I know you're not going to bet the total, but do you have a thought on it for people that are interested in betting it?
The thing that makes it really tough to bet side and total in this game is just like the health of Garoppolo, right? Like if he plays that first series and you're like, oh my God, this looks terrible, then that's the end. Like it's the end of the total. I mean, unless the Packers really want to put a huge number up, then that's the end of it. And then obviously, like he could look great and the game could go over the number. So it makes it a little tricky. If I had to bet it, like the average outcome in this game is probably Garoppolo's less than 100%. Valdez-Scantling injury hurts a little bit for the Packers. And like, so lean under probably at the number, but I honestly think the number's pretty good.
My analysis of the game is exactly the same as Ken's. We talked about this on Monday. I touched on it on Wednesday with Moose. I bet 49ers plus six yesterday. And like, to be fair, like I think I'm gonna end up with a good number here, but like my bet, like, in addition to making the bet on the game, my bet was that Nick Bosa was going to be cleared. So like, I was willing to take that risk after, like, you know, reading the tea leaves, talking to some people in the league, that Bosa was going to end up playing in the game. So I
and that Garoppolo was going to be okay, too, which is important.
Well, Garoppolo had the full practice on Wednesdays, which made me feel a little bit better at that point when I made the bet. So, like, that was really, like, the bet kind of hinged on, like, is Bosa going to play? Like, and I think that's, like, he's a very impactful player, like, especially in this particular game, especially if Bakhtiari can't go. So Niners plus six for me. Otherwise, I agree with Ken. Like, I guess the last question to ask before we get to the same game parlay. Let's say Bakhtiari is ruled out, MVS ruled out. We know all these guys for the Niners are in. How far does it potentially drop? Like, I'm guessing that the Niners would draw interest if Bakhtiari doesn't play. Like, what do you think the bottom is here? Like, 5, 4.5? Would there ever be a 4? Like, does that ever happen? Like, where do you see the number going?
Probably not much lower than it is right now. I think it just prevents it from getting back to 6, probably.
It would have happened already, probably, right? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, because, like, what... like, is it really that new, anything that's going to happen from this point forward? You know what I mean? Like, we already, like, an NFL injury line movement during the week, you basically tend to, like, buy the rumor. So, like, if it seems like a guy's not going to play, that's when the number moves. It's, like, not really when he's ruled out, unless it is, like, a monumental franchise quarterback. Then it'll move a lot on the rumor, and then even more on game day, because everyone, even all the casual people will show up and bet the same side, and everybody will bet the same side in the game. But with, like, non-quarterback injuries, it seems like people buy the rumor and then it just stays there, basically. So like the move has already kind of happened a little bit, 6 to 5.5, and not even continuing to climb, basically, would almost be the resistance. So like, for people who don't know, 5 basically like never lands in the NFL. It's one of the least important numbers to try to get. So if this went 5.5 to 4.5, it's possible you'll even see people like, oh my God, like it went from 5.5 to, that's like,
well, to be fair, and I remember this because I was in Chicago. The Packers played the Seahawks on divisional weekend a couple years ago. The spread was 4.5. I bet Seattle, the Packers won by 5, and I was really upset.
Right. Isn't it amazing how you always remember the one that lands on the number? Isn't it always amazing how that happens, right?
Indeed.
So yeah, so at five, a pretty irrelevant number. If it went 5.5 to 4.5, would I be shocked? No. If it stayed the same, would I be shocked? Not at all. I think we're in the right neighborhood. If it got back to six, like, I don't think Bakhtiari has to play for it to go to six necessarily, but like
it is juiced towards six. Like it's not, I would say it's not quite 5.75, but I mean, it's -112 right now for the Packers at Bet Rivers.
This is the range that we're talking about where I think we're going to have to make decisions. So for me, it's like 4.5, 5, 5.5, not interested, 6 Niners, 4 Packers, but you're never going to get. I mean, that's a number I would be shocked if we saw 4 -110 for Green Bay in a divisional game at home with a week off. I'd be very surprised if we saw that number. So it's really just, do you get the 6 with the Niners? Otherwise, like, figure out another way to play the game. If you love Green Bay, take their money line, put it with Tennessee. If you love the Niners, like, figure out ways to play them, you know, can play them derivatives, first half even. Like, I think it's 3.5 in this game probably. So there's a bunch of options that you have. But again, we're talking about a market that I think is pretty good.
You better. You bet. BetQL Network. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley. Phenomenal Football Friday. All our picks for divisional weekend in the NFL. Ken, please, sir, your same game parlay for the Packers and the Niners.
I did a fun one. I don't know if this is the outcome that I expect. This one's called Niners Shock the World. That's the name of this parlay. So, San Francisco money line. So if the Niners win this game, what's probably true if they win the game? If they win the game, I think they probably have to get off to a pretty good start. Now, it's worth noting in the Sunday night meeting between the teams, I believe they got down 17-0 and came back in the game, if I remember correctly. But playoff game on the road with Garoppolo, like, probably have to get off to a pretty good start in this game, use their running game to get off to a good start. So it's Niners money line, Niners first to 10. Garoppolo over pass yards. I think I went one alt down, so paid a little more for over 224.5. But he has to be, if they're going to win the game outright, he has to be competent in the game, like perform pretty well. Debo, 50 plus rush yards. I think he had, 10 for 81 last week, basically. I think obviously any limitations, restrictions on how much they use him in the game are completely off for a game like this. Josh Allen for the Bills, same thing. Just like, this is the reason why you do this. This is the reason why you have this weapon to use him in this spot. So Debo, 50 plus rushing yards. And then if the Niners are winning the entire game and like that's their path to victory is like being in the game, then AJ Dillon, the clock eater for the Packers, if they had a lead, maybe be a little more limited as a result. Dillon under 44.5 rush yards. So Niners get out, basically Niners get out to a lead, the guys who always play well for them play well when they win, and that results in the Packers not using one of their skill position players as much because they're trailing in the game. So Niners money line, Niners first to 10, Garoppolo over 224.5, Debo 50 plus rush yards, Dillon under 44.5 rush yards. That pays 22-1, that same game.
Love it. Love it. Niners shocked the world. My same game parlay is called Jimmy's Cold. So.
I love this. This one. I really like
so
this.
So first I have an alt spread of Niners +7.5.
Okay. Is that because he's cold or why are we alting that? Because he's really cold.
Because I think the Niners are going to keep it within a touchdown.
Okay.
There you go.
Because it's cold.
And I have a Packers prop also, which has nothing to do with Jimmy Garoppolo being cold. If Marquez Valdes-Scantling does not play in the game, and he is doubtful, Alan Lazard's receiving yards prop to me looks way too low at 38.5. Like, Devontae's going to eat. Devontae always eats. But that yardage has got to go somewhere. And I get it. Evan Silva was on earlier talking about how, like, Lazard's a lot slower. I understand. 38.5 to me feels way too low if MVS does not play in the game. So Lazard over 38.5 receiving yards. So here's where we get to the Jimmy's cold portion of the festivities. So not only is Jimmy hurt, not only is Jimmy going to be cold, but the Packers pass rush is basically operating at full strength here with Za'Darius Smith being activated. So I feel like even more so than usual, because the Niners are not the type of offense where Jimmy drops back, sits in the pocket for like 3 seconds, waits for guys to be way down the field and chucks it down the field. This is a Jimmy gets the snap, throws it 8 yards to Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, or George Kittle, and counts on one of these guys to run after the catch. Like, that's what this offense is. And that's fine. That's the Shanahan offense. All good. So, in that vein, my guess is that with the Packers pass rush being at full strength here, we've seen this over the course of the last month, and I actually cost me money last week because I took the George Kittle receiving yards over, and for the fourth consecutive game, Kittle did basically nothing in the passing game. Now, Kittle, in addition to being maybe the best receiving tight end in the league, with apologies to Travis Kelce, is the best blocking tight end in the league. I think he's the most overall complete tight end in the league. So I think we're going to see Kittle blocking more than normal in this game. So I'm going to stay away from Kittle. So if Jimmy's going to drop back to pass, and it's cold, and he's hurt, and the offensive scheme is for him to get the ball out of his hands quickly, and he's under potential duress, Who's he going to be going to out of the backfield? Who are the quick hitters going to? I think Debo obviously makes a lot of sense. 51.5 receiving yards. Eli Mitchell is basically the only running back that plays now for the Niners. I understand that Debo gets carries as well. Debo is a wide receiver. When there's a running back on the field, it is Elijah Mitchell. Eli Mitchell, over 8.5 receiving yards. And a tip of the cap to our pal Josh Norris, who talked about Kyle Juszczyk on our show on a tremendous Thursday, being involved as the Swiss Army knife in these big games, the highest paid fullback in the league. So Jimmy's cold. So what does he do? Gets the ball out of his hands quickly and gets his hands back in the warmer. Debo over 51.5 receiving yards. Eli Mitchell over 8.5 receiving yards. Kyle Juszczyk over 9.5 receiving yards, paired with Niners plus 7.5 and the Alan Lazard over, which has nothing to do with Jimmy Garoppolo being cold. All of this, Ken, will pay you 18-1.
I love that. That's really good. Why can't all those things happen? Of course they can.
I mean, they're going to.
How could it lose? Yeah.
So that's the same game parlay for the Packers and the Niners. My same game parlay, I actually have like a big number, but I don't have a lot of legs for the Bucks and the Rams, and I think I have the greatest same game parlay ever constructed for the Chiefs Bills game.
Our Chiefs Bills two parlays combined pay like $250 million, basically. It's like I made one that's outrageous, and then you like tripled the outrageousness of it, basically, with yours. It's actually really funny.
-500 to 1, my same game parlay for the Bills and the Chiefs. So on the other side,
500 to 1.
Literally, like I saw it and I had to do like a double take. I was like, is that 50 or is that 500? No. Power Hour proper coming up next. So you will get our bets for the NBA tonight. A lot of games. You'll get our bets for college hoops. Maybe not a lot of games. We should have a lot of NHL games for a Friday night, so Bill will be busy. But we're going to start the Power Hour by wrapping up our NFL bets for the Bucks and Rams, the Chiefs and Bills. And then we'll tell you how to bet giving props as well. The free-to-play contest courtesy of BetQL. All coming up. Final hour. Phenomenal Football Friday.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Please bring it up, Jake. Final hour. Power hour. You better, you bet. BetQL Network. Phenomenal Football Friday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here with you. Got a lot to do here over the course of the next hour. We'll talk about given props, give you our picks for given props. NBA. College Hoops, National Hockey League, overnights. But for now, we get back to the National Football League and wrapping up our plays for divisional weekend. So Jake, kindly bring up the YBYB recommends while Ken and I begin our bets and our analysis of Tampa and the Los Angeles Rams. This will be the first game to be played on Sunday as the defending Super Bowl champion Tom Brady and the Buccaneers take on Matthew Stafford and the Rams. Tampa is a 2.5-point favorite, but Ken, this is really like 2.75. We're pretty close to 3 here. So Tampa -2.75. Do me a favor here, Scott. Okay, I see it here up here. Yes, he's just posted this. This is the NBC game on Sunday. So it'll be Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, and Michelle Tafoya in a righteous or nasty, nasty showdown, right? With Bucks and Rams?
If it's Brady, doesn't it have to be righteous?
I don't know. I feel like this is a nasty matchup.
Okay. I mean, what percentage righteous and what percent nasty? Is it like a 50-50 split?
58% nasty, 42% righteous.
Okay. I was going to say righteous is -2.5 in this game for sure.
Right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. I guess the Rams would be the nasty side in this game. I don't know if like, does Bet Rivers offer penalty overs? Cause like we should bet the over because moron Sean Hockley's the referee in this game. Like
it's sure, people will find, if you say stuff like that, people will find that bet somewhere. They'll find it.
I'm just saying like, just prepare everyone out there to be infuriated when the demon spawn of Ed Hockley's idiot son, Sean, gets out there and completely fouls up this game with some ridiculous penalties. Like it is going to happen. So like prepare, you steel yourself against it now for that to happen with the Bucks and the Rams. So again, Bucks basically minus three at this point, 2.75. Tampa minus 148 on the money line. Rams plus 130. Total in the game is 48. What do you got side in total?
I bet Tampa early in the week, which I what I thought was a small number edge. Open two. I bet 2.5 with like really reasonable juice on it and held it throughout the week. Watched. I thought the number was going to go up way more than it did. It didn't. It held at three, but really didn't even get to three minus 110. I only got like a tiny, tiny bit of what was going to be closing line value in the game. The Bucks have given you, I think, about what we expected from an injury report, which was like lack of news on two offensive linemen. It seems more like Jensen's closer to playing than Wirfs. Maybe they both play. We have no idea what percent they're going to be in the game. But like, that's kind of what we thought it was going to be at the start of the week. Not a ton has changed in that way. The Rams ruling out Andrew Whitworth, I think, is like probably the most impactful news thing that's happened so far that we actually know for sure in terms of who's playing and not playing in the game. But it's not a ton versus some of the injury stuff that we have in some of the other games so far. It might turn out to be a lot on Sunday, depending on what the offensive line news is. So just the more I thought about this game. So I think that the number in the game, like conceptually for the entire season, my handicap originally was like, all right, if I ran this the entire year, every single week, I get to like three, a little more than three, a lot. But then I was kind of like, all right, well, like, why is that? Or is there a way that this game might end up playing out differently? And just looking at who Tampa has played since they've like sustained some of these injuries, Godwin out for the season, Antonio Brown kicked off the team against the Jets, some of the defensive injuries, and they've gotten some of those guys back. Like,
topless.
Haven't Antonio Brown is topless. They haven't really played in a lot of game, figure out like what are, like we know, I think we have a really good idea of what they would be against a bad team. Certainly played a number of those games. The Bills game is kind of like the only frame of reference for what they would be against an elite opponent, close like a little bit more than three in that game, and their offensive line is more in doubt than it is than it was in that game. So like, I guess my point is, I'm not saying I like love the Rams with everything and I want to bet on them. I bought out of this basically because I, the more I thought about it, the more I could get to the current number a little more easily than I originally thought. That I was like, okay, I think I've slightly overvalued the Bucks with what they're going to have in this game and like how they've rated down the stretch versus earlier in the season. So like, okay, I'm close enough now. I don't feel comfortable kind of like going to war with this bet. So like my kind of heart gut instinct says, I think the Rams actually might win this game, but I don't think that's worth betting on. For me, it was like, I think I had a valuable bet early in the week. Now I'm not so sure. So I did. I mean, for people listening, I did buy out of the bet. I don't have a bet on this game. I think the market's like perfect, honestly. I really do. Honestly, the more I think about it, I think this is an awesome game that I can't wait to watch and have no desire to bet on.
Do you think you'll end up with a play on the total, which you would give, of course, on Sunday's edition of Countdown to Kickoff 10 a.m. to noon?
Yeah, and well, the good news is when we do the Sunday show, we'll have more injury clarity about the offensive line. We'll have, I mean, we'll just have more information at that point about a lot of, well, it's likely we'll know more than we do now. Maybe it's only a little bit more, but we're at least going to know a little bit more than we do now. And it gives me more of a chance to think about that game and the total specifically and maybe how I want to attack it. But for now, no bet on the game. Like teasing the Rams, is that like a great idea? We included them in the monster teaser for what it's worth. I don't think that's a bad idea. Like, you know, would I rather make any individual bet on side or total on Sunday? Or if I had a choice between making one bet on either game, or I could two-team 6-point tease the Rams and the Bills up, I would probably pick option B and two-team tease the Rams and the Bills up. Like, that's how efficient I think the two game markets are, that like, I would just tease and that's it. Like, if you wanted action, for example, on the Sunday games, tease up the dogs would probably be the thing that I would do to create that action.
Yeah, we've been talking about that all week as well. I'm a man. I'm not quite 40, but I'm almost.
You're an American. Yeah.
I'm an American. So you know what I do? I stick to my guns.
Mm-hmm.
I make a commitment and I see it through. That's what Americans do. This guy, Ken Barkley, that I'm working with. Yeah. I'm glad you said it so I didn't have to. What we're all thinking. Yep. Ken, when the Rams win the game and I've lost right. money, you'll be the smart one.
The coward over here going, hey.
Says, I have more money than you do now, so I may be a coward, but I also have more money than you, so I'd prefer to be in that position as well. I'm going to stick with my bet on the Bucks. And just like a number discussion that I think is really interesting, Ken, and look, like I totally understand like where you're coming from. I don't disagree. I just feel like three is kind of like, even if the Bucks offensive linemen don't play, I feel like three is the right number in the game.
To be fair, we're like 7 cents away from three. Like, we're like really close to three. Like, it's just the 2.5 is displayed, but the juice on it is extensive.
So I'm going to stick with my Bucks bet. Andrew Whitworth being out, I think, is I don't think it's like cataclysmic for the Rams. Like, I think like they can still like operate, obviously.
That's bad. I mean,
it's not great. It's not, well, like Joe Girardi would say, like, it's not what you want. It's not what you want to happen, but I don't think it's like the end of the world for them. I think Wirfs being out, honestly, is a bigger deal. And I know that they play different positions, like Wirfs is a right tackle, but Wirfs is better. Wirfs is awesome. And we'll see if he plays. Who came on and said that they heard Ryan Jensen was gonna play? Was that Evan? Someone came on and said that, right?
Yeah.
On the show today?
I think Evan came on and said it. Yeah, it was
maybe it was Sam, maybe today. That like Jensen was going to play, but like we weren't sure about Wirfs. Or maybe Evan said because Jensen has to be.
I don't think we want to report anything. Donald. Let's put it that way.
Oh, this is not a report. This is just like what people are hearing. So I'm going to stick with my bet on the Bucks. I intuitively like the under. I haven't bet it. We'll talk about it on Sunday if indeed I add that to the card. But I'm going to roll with Tampa Bay here in less than a field goal. I bet the open, Tampa -2.5, and I am going to stick with that. Ken, what about your same game parlay here, please, for the Bucks and Rams?
It's more fun. It was more fun to play around with the Rams props and correlate them to the Rams winning than it was with the Bucks props. So this is not a commentary on who I really, really think is going to win. Although I do lean Rams winning, kind of just like my gut feel on the game. Rams money line. Beckham over passing yard or receiving yards. Beckham over passing yards would also be kind of funny if they wanted to post that. Rams money line. Beckham over receiving yards. Beckham anytime touchdown. Cup anytime touchdown, but not yards. I'm not going to get burned on that again. Stafford over passing yards and Brady to throw one or more interceptions. So basically all things that go with a Rams win, their star players show out. They both score their star receivers. Beckham goes over, which he's only been doing like at a ridiculous clip so far. Brady gives you one, probably gives Rams an extra possession, which they probably need to win, honestly. And they win. And that plays 22-1, basically. So things that are all highly correlated with the Rams winning the game.
Okay. Because like there are some props that are still not posted yet as it concerns this game, particularly, especially because of the Buccaneers running back uncertainty.
Right.
Like, we don't know if Leonard Fournette's going to be cleared. Just to be clear, I don't think that matters at all as far as like my bet is concerned. Like, if Fournette plays or doesn't play, it doesn't matter. Like, I still like Tampa in the game. That bet is still in for me. Gio Bernard is fine. Keyshawn Vaughn is fine. But it moves the needle, obviously, in terms of prop betting. So no Bucks are going to be posted. I don't know if we've got, like, we didn't a couple hours ago on Bet Rivers have Cam Akers numbers. Maybe we do now. We will address this on Sunday morning. The Prop King will give out plays, of course, so don't worry about that. We will get to the bets for the Rams and the Buccaneers, some of the stuff that's not posted. So for right now, I only have 3 legs, but it pays 45-1.
Oh, boy. Will there be a safety? Yes.
Leg number one. We're simpatico on this one. Odell Beckham Jr. over receiving yards. We play it every week. Like, it's insane. I still play it here. I absolutely love it. Over 46.5. Bucks money line. Bucks money line. Tampa just to win the game. And now I want you to picture in your mind's eye. Can't you just envision the following scenario unfolding? Let's say it's Bucks are up 10 late in the game. Bucks are even up like 3 late in the game. Rams get the ball deep in their own territory. Here's Stafford driving. You know what he's going to do? Make a mistake. Bucks, any other player to score the last touchdown of the game.
Call that the exclamation point. That's that parlay.
Love it. The exclamation point parlay. 45-1. Beckham over receiving yards. Bucks money line. And Bucks any other touchdown scorer. Defensive touchdown, basically, for the final touchdown of the game. You bet BetQL Network. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, Phenomenal Football Friday. All our plays for divisional weekend. Ken, we move to the main event, the crown jewel, the piece de resistance, which is the Chiefs and the Bills from Arrowhead. At Bet Rivers, we've got 2 minus 110. KC, a 2-point favorite, total 54. What do you got here, side and total?
All year, for the most part, since very, very early on in the season, I've had the Bills rated slightly better than the Chiefs basically the entire year. When they played earlier in the year, October 10th was the date of their meeting on Sunday Night Football this year. I had the Bills rated a very, very, very small amount better, or maybe even equal, I think, in that game. So never been a lot of difference between the teams. Played in the AFC Championship last year when Mahomes was kind of hurt. That number closed 3, I think. They play Sunday night, October 10th this year. Chiefs are 2.5 with a total of 57. Like, is there any doubt that we have a pretty good idea what the true difference between these teams should be, at least in terms of a betting market? Now, you can like a team to win and bet them. That's totally fine. The game's awesome. Like, I want to have a bet on it. Is there a valuable bet to be made with all of the information we have about these two teams? I'm not clear about that. I all week I felt like this market was pretty good. The decision point was going to be, if it goes to three, do you bet Buffalo or not? That was going to be the decision point. My number in the game is something like Bills by one or Bills by 1.5, and we're at 2. So very close. Hasn't moved a whole lot the entire week, so, you know, except to go 1.5 to 2, which is irrelevant. I just don't think there's a valuable bet necessarily in the game, honestly. So I think, like, the market's being created using the same stuff that I'm using to create my number. We're all coming to the same conclusion. Like, gun to my head, or like, lean, who do I think wins the game? I'll go with Kansas City, like, winning the game, honestly, but just not really based on like any kind of sound handicapping angle. But if I had to pick the game, I'd pick Kansas City to win.
I agree. I feel like it's flipping a coin, though. I think I would probably take the Chiefs also.
And like it sucks. Like, I get it. It's the biggest game. I understand it's going to get 98 television rating. Like, I totally understand.
Dude, I had to do this
everybody
on radio,
on
like, in all these huge markets this week where I'm like, yeah, like, what do you like in the game? I'm like, nothing.
Right. And they like tee it up like it's the greatest thing ever, which it is. It's just, like, there are more valuable betting opportunities gained from lower mid-major college basketball tonight than there are in the Chiefs-Bills game. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, it's a super efficient betting market with teams that have played so far this year with same coaches, same quarterbacks, almost no different injuries. Like, Tre'Davious White's the only injury that's been brought up the entire week that's kind of matters. It was Rob Pozzola that brought it up, and his point, just to, like, give you some extra analysis, the people listening, was basically, like, since he's gotten injured, the Bills basically haven't played like a top level quarterback. And if you go across their whole season, actually, they haven't played a lot of top level quarterbacks either. So this could represent
including the Patriots
kind of like
three
a,
times.
Yes, Patriots three times. But like, go through, I mean, seriously, you, the person listening, go through the Bills schedule, be like, when would you identify a top 10 quarterback as someone that they played against and what happened in those games? And it's like, really, it's Tampa who put a big number up on them. Like, that's it. That's basically all that happened the last 10 weeks of the year. So there's at least a chance that Mahomes could score a ton of points in this game. The market expects them to score a ton of points. Mahomes is favored. Like, what am I supposed to do with this information? So just an interesting angle there. Just Tre'Davious White, the impact of that in the game, I guess, is something.
Well, I was trying to think, like, okay, like, I think I can make a case for the Chiefs and that the Tre'Davious White's out. Chiefs are going to score a ton of points, which I think is going to happen. Or on the flip side, no way Kansas City stopping Buffalo unless the Bills turned it over a bunch, which, of course, is within the realm of possibility. Ergo, I want to bet the over in the game. So I bet the over. I'm on over 54.
Sure.
Feel pretty good about it. If I had to pick a winner of the game, I would pick Kansas City. But like, maybe I'll end up with a small bet on Kansas. Actually, but I want to root for Buffalo. So like, I'm actually not.
Yeah.
Gonna
so just root for Buffalo. Yeah.
I just want to root for Buffalo. I guess
can I give you my same game parlay real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. And then I'll do mine on the other side.
Over in the game.
Okay.
Kelsey to score a touchdown. Josh Allen to score a touchdown rushing. Stephon Diggs to score a touchdown. Jerick McKinnon to score a touchdown. Diggs over receiving yards. Kelsey over receiving yards.
This is awesome.
Mahomes alt over pass yards, 329.5.
Okay.
80-1.
Love it. Love it.
I actually think this game might be completely insane. And I know I said that last week about Cowboys Niners, and I was totally wrong. But now I feel that way about this one.
Yeah, well, this is, I think, you know, probably more of a chance that it happens in this particular one. So next segment, my same game parlay, Bills Chiefs, giving props, Bills NHL, college hoops, and we'll start in the NBA. It's going to be a loaded segment. Join us coming up on the other side of the BetQL Network.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
All right, Power Hour proper starting momentarily, but for now, last thing is same game parlay here. So I can do this dry. We don't have to have the music underneath it. So the odds have moved, unfortunately, on my same game parlay. So now it is 375-1 and not 500-1. Are you ready for this? Again, 375-1 on the same game parlay, Bills and Chiefs. 375-1. Which means if you bet a dollar on it, it wins, you win 375. Ready?
Let's do it. What you got?
Over in the game. Three different anytime touchdown scorers. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Isaiah McKenzie, who I talked about earlier, right? Playing over Cole Beasley now. So over 54, the three anytime touchdown scorers, McKenzie, Allen, and Mahomes. Gabe Davis, now, like, I gave this out on radio all day today. It's gone up. I'm not saying it's because of me, but, like, it's gone up 8 yards. I still like it. I bet over 29.5 earlier today. It's 37.5. Gabe Davis, over 37.5 receiving yards. Stephon Diggs, over 70.5 receiving yards. Byron Pringle, over 33.5 receiving yards. And Josh Allen, over passing yards, 279.5. 375-1.
Like, incredible. The Mahomes anytime touchdown, a nice little wrinkle in that, by the way.
Yes. So Mahomes, McKenzie, Allen, and then a bunch of overs, like literally.
What do you make of the Allen rush yards? Because they just keep, like, it just keeps going up every week, right?
Like, yeah, like, I mean, it, He could go over.
Like 58, 59 or something.
I think it's less than, I don't think it's that high. I mean, unless like it spiked up in the last little bit here, I can tell you, because I literally have this page open right now. I have to scroll to the top.
Which is crazy. It's almost like Debo Samuel, where it's like, okay, well, now that the games really matter, you just like unleash the person that you would never do this with in a regular season game.
They didn't do it last year in the playoff game, but it's 48 and a half.
Okay.
Sounds like you went over. I've never watched the games.
Right now. Like I just, you know,
I would never bet the under.
He's an unstoppable wrecking ball of a quarterback. Apparently, when he runs the ball,
maybe his coach is too, his offensive coordinator is too worried about what head coaching job he's going to get. Maybe with my team, we'll see.
You got a new GM.
Yeah, I got asked about it on the fan today. What do you think of Joe Shane? Like, I wouldn't know him if he sat down next to me.
Right, you'd be like, "Are you Joe Shane?"
But here's what I know. Here's and I'll just quick, like yeah, just I think people whatever like my Giants, so it'll be very quick. I don't know if he's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to pick the right head coach. I don't know if he's going to draft the right players. But the team's doing something different, and that was needed, so they get the benefit of the doubt from me. And with that, we can start the Power Hour. Jake the Snake, kindly drop the dope ass beat.